don't mind the way you change clothes 100 times before leaving home. Thought you were in love with the first girl that you ever really saw. I see a strange light, night after strange night, as I search your eyes, still unsure. I felt weird standing close to you, but I never had a doubt that it wasn't true. Thought I was in love.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7 o'clock in the PM, and next is Combined Culture Radio. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Friends of Noise October Youth Showcase on Saturday, October 20th from 6 to 11 p.m. at the Rockwood Center in Portland. Local bands The Day, White Lotus, and Seven will be playing the Friends of Noise Youth Showcase this month. Friends of Noise is a nonprofit that works to create more space for all ages music and arts and aims to open a music and arts venue. Again, that's the Friends of Noise October Youth Showcase featuring The Day, White Lotus, and Seven on Saturday, October 20th from 6 to 11 p.m. at the Rockwood Center, 17805 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Come up in the party, get drinking in the lobby.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Law for the People Convention from October 31st through the 4th at the Benson Hotel in Portland. Registration is now open for this five-day conference. Panels and workshops include Facing Fascism, What's the NLG's Role in Defending Resistance to Fascism? Movement Lawyering for Racial Justice. Disaster Capitalism, Colonialism and Climate Change. What it means to do movement legal support in indigenous communities, and much more. Again, registration is now open for the Law for the People National Lawyers Guild Convention from October 31st through the 4th at the Benson Hotel, 309 Southwest Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Pretty girls, fast cars, that's just a facade. The bridge separates South Beach from my Miami, the real Miami, the MIA. This is where we hustle.
Every day I'm hustling, 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 every day I'm, every day I'm, every day I'm hustling.
Who you suckers think you're tripping with? Yes, I'm the boss. 745, white on white, that's Rick Ross. I keep them wide, I keep them long, I keep them fat. I keep them coming back, we keep them coming back. I'm in the distribution, I'm like Atlantic. I got them pretty things flying across the Atlantic. I know Pablo, Pablo Noriega, the real Noriega. He owe me 100 favors. I ain't petty player, we buy the whole thing. See, most of my homies hustle, they still do their thing. My roof back, my money ride. I'm on the pedal, show you what I'm running like. When they snatch black, I cry for 100 nights. He got 100 bodies serving 100 lights.
Every day I'm hustling, 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 every day I'm, every day I'm.
We never steal cars, but we hard. Whip it real hard, whip it real hard. I call the charge, I call the charge. Whip it real hard, whip it real hard.
Ain't about no funny stuff, still flipping them chickens. I'm on my money stuff, still whipping them Benzes. Major League, who catching because I'm pitching. Jose Canseco just snitching because he finished. I feed them steroids to strengthen up all my chickens. They flying over Pacifics to be specific. Triple C's, you know it's fact. We holdin' sack. So big and gon' rap. Run and tell them that. More cars. More O's. More clothes. More clothes. More.
Every day I'm hustling. 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 Every day.
Time to spend my thrills, custom spinning wheels. I ain't drove in a week, them shit is standing still. Talk about me, cause these suckers scared to talk about me.
Yo, 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 ho, ho, what up? You already know what it is. It's CC Radio, aka Combined Culture Radio, in your radio station right now. Today's topic of discussion is we're talking about entrepreneurship and not just owning a business, but owning yourself and owning your own brand. So I got some special guests in here tonight. You know, this is nothing like we've ever really done here before at KBOO. You know, we've had a lot of creatives on here, but nothing in this realm, I would say, of actually owning your own brand. So first off, to my left, we got Rantek here. Rantek, why don't you tell them about yourself real quick?
What's up, Portland? My name is Rantek. Man, I'm a recent graduate from Oregon State University about a year and a half ago. Otherwise, I was born in Fairfax, Virginia. Man, I have an interest in multiple things. I mean, nutrition is like, you know, a big passion of mine. But otherwise, entrepreneurship, you know, it's always something that kind of stays in my mind and something I'm gearing up towards. I've been in that realm for about a year now. So still very new, and I like to be very transparent about that aspect, but it's something that I've really loved, and I've learned a lot outside of my formal education from my experiences that I've kind of gone through myself in entrepreneurship.
The real life experiences, for sure, outweigh the books 100%, in my opinion.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Always. Yeah.
And then, Trey, you want to give yourself a little introduction real quick?
Yeah, for sure, man. My name is Trey. What's up, Portland? From Salem originally, California originally, out of Salem. I started a real estate media company, so it's a little bit of a different vibe there, but really just about finding the hole and trying to fill it. And I'm excited to tell you guys kind of what it's about, and hopefully you guys can, anybody out there that's been thinking about what they want to do or if they want to build their own worth, just do it. Me and Rantek talk a lot about that. A lot of the things we say are gonna end with just do it.
hey that's the mentality. We got another guest that'll be here a little bit momentarily. But let's kick it off. So talk to me about, you know, like what that process was like for you initially of discovering yourself, you know.
So I'll touch base first. Yeah. I went through the whole usual,
Rewind. I want to just cut to the chase real quick. Let's give your brand, or do you want to develop the story
brand,
to the brand?
We'll touch the brand.
Okay.
The brand is Nature's Feel. It's an Ayurvedic personal care, or you could say health company. Ayurvedic medicine is plant and herb based medicine.
I still can't say that word.
it's a tough one. Ayurvedic medicine is the oldest form of medicine, actually, in the world.
Y'all hear that?
But
most people don't even know about it.
Right.
It's crazy.
Exactly. It's predominant on the Eastern Hemisphere, and it's all relying on every aspect of health. So one thing you learn in public health is that there's individual determinants of health and social determinants of health. And essentially saying that every single aspect of your life is gonna have some type of impact on you.
For sure.
And your well-being. And so Ayurvedic medicine embraces every single aspect so that in an entirety, you will be healthy as a whole, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of waiting for you to get sick and then using direct care while you're kind of at a bottom to work yourself back up,
mm-hmm.
we try to make it so that, you know, you never even get yourself in that hole. You just retain wellness. And then when you retain wellness, that's how you can kind of, you know, stay sharp mentally, physically, and, you know, in all aspects, right? I feel like playing from a disadvantage always hurts.
Yeah.
So we try to go about a process that avoids that entire scope.
Should have had you here last week when we were talking about self-care.
Right.
You could have fit in perfectly.
But
how's the product made, though? Yeah, make sure they know how the product, like that.
So
the OG
how it started is my mom actually used to make personal care solutions for her two boys, just me and my brother, right? Whether it's hair oil just to give us massages, she wanted her hair to be healthy, or some type of skin cream in case we had any type of, you know, cuts or burns or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
She's very, you know, knowledgeable about those things. What really kind of sparked Nature's Feel was about, maybe you could say, 2 years ago. My dad got, you know, some chronic illnesses. So, you know, it was kind of a tough time. And, you know, while those things come, you know, we got to be, you can't just sit there and mope, right? You got to move forward and understand how to, you know, progress.
For sure.
And so my mom took it about herself to learn about Ayurvedic medicine and how she could help my dad, right? And so she ended up learning so much about it. She started to make, you know, practical, like, day-to-day items that would just prevent chemicals from entering our body as a whole, right?
Yeah.
So whether it's like a deodorant or a lotion or a toothpaste, whatever it is, you know, we're trying to take out the artificial colors, the fragrances, the preserves, all of that.
For sure, yeah.
And so she ended up making this hair oil, right? And coincidentally, I have a really close buddy. He's a barber. He ended up dyeing his hair purple. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
and it looked, and it was feeling like, hey, that's what his girl said. His girlfriend said, you know, your hair doesn't have the same texture anymore. And he comes up to me, he asked me, he said, hey, I know out of all my clientele, there's about two people that their hair in the last 2 years, it hasn't receded, it hasn't thinned out, there's been no discoloration. And the two clients are related, it's you and your brother. What do you guys do? And I'm like, hey man, like, you know, sometimes our mom gives us this oil and I put that in, but you know, it's I never really thought twice about it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he asked me for it. Little did I know, as soon as he got his hands on it, he started using it and he started applying it to all his clients. So we had about, little did I know, like 100 people started
just using,
you know,
your mom's
testing his products, right? And we had no negative reviews and no negative comments about smell or anything like that. And this wasn't even like a commercialized formula. It's just a homemade type of thing, right? And so we got to the point where I understood that, hey, if this is gonna happen, I have to make it happen, right? And so a big thing for me, and it's something that, you know, we can continue to touch base on as we go through our conversation, is I focus on three principles, right? It's empowerment, ownership, and freedom. Mm. The thing about empowerment is you empower yourself through your time, right? And so you have to value your time, but the only way you can empower yourself through your time is by controlling your schedule. Right?
Yeah.
The only way you can have control in your schedule is if you have ownership in your endeavors, which is why it's so important have some type of ownership, some type of equity in what you do, right?
For sure, yeah.
And these two things will lead to financial freedom. And I'm not always talking about financial freedom because, I mean, life goes beyond just, you know, monetary means, right? But it's freedom in all senses, whether it's freedom of, you know, control of your time, your day-to-day habits, you know, financially, you know, multiple aspects, right?
Yeah.
So I always touch base on empowerment, ownership, and freedom.
It's like freedom of progress.
Right.
Like you choose how you progress.
Right. Yeah. How you want to live, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I started materializing Nature's Feel. Coincidentally, all these little trial things happening in December. December wraps up. January 1st, I registered my LLC. I said, you know, 2018, January 1st.
Hit the ground running.
Where it's, I mean, I didn't tell anyone about it. I mean, Trey's one of my best friends here. I don't even think I spoke to him about it. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, hey, execution first, right?
For sure, yeah.
And so from there on, we went on to release a hair care line, a skin care line, and a body care line. All plant and herb based, all organic, fragrance, artificial fragrance, color, preservative free. And something that, you know, my mom loves. So, I mean, this was something that we touched base on when we had dinner the other day, right? And we touched base and, you know, I told you, hey, a lot of kids, they want to buy their dad a house. They want to buy their mom a house and, you know, they want to buy their dad a car.
Yeah.
Something like that, right?
Provide for them, you know,
but
give
most,
back, you know.
You know, yeah, give back because, you know, they're really appreciative of how much they've done for them.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, to be practical, a lot of times those goals, they never really come to fruition, right? And it's the saddest thing.
And I mean, regardless, even if you do
achieve
that goal.
Right. How long is it going to take? And how long are you going to be away from your parents while you do it?
Yeah.
Right?
And then even further, are they? Is that even really going to make them happy?
Yeah, is that what they want?
You know,
right?
A lot of people don't hear those stories about the mom that actually gets the house from the son. You know, they're proud of their son. Yeah. And everything, but like, what are they doing on a day to day?
And so, like, I started to understand. Okay, everyone has this goal, and they go about the same approach, and that is kind of ghost from my parents for about 10 years. You know, in my 20s and, you know, younger 30s, accumulate all this wealth or whatever I may do, and then come back and be like, hey, mom, check out this house, or dad, here's the SUV.
Look what I got. Yeah.
You know. And it's like, it's a very materialistic thing, not to knock on materialism or anything like that, but I just didn't like that approach, right? I didn't see it as an effective approach. So I said, okay, I gotta do something different,
yeah,
right? And naturally, I think a little bit differently. So my thing was, okay, this is not effective, you know?
No. Yeah.
So what I did is I understood, okay, my mom likes to make these hair oils. She likes to make these facial moisturizers, these joint balms. She's, you know, in the kitchen, enjoying herself, singing, you know, doing something she loves, right? What happens if I start to get her compensated for that pastime? You know, what if I make a whole position and a whole entity around what she likes to do, and then I can get her compensated for something that she doesn't even see as work,
yeah,
right? And then the biggest thing is, I see myself as a serial entrepreneur, right? This is not gonna be my first business, it's not gonna be my last business, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, how beautiful would it be is if Nature's Feel really became something, you know, what it should be, and I could just, you know, leave that to her and move on, right? So
kind
of understanding that, you know, I could be someone that's, you know, helps secure and kind of help my dad to make even my mom feel more secure.
For sure.
Right?
It takes pressure off of you.
And then move on, right? So that was kind of my why, right? So that's what keeps me going. I tell people, you know, a big time thing, it was always the grief of hesitation that burdened me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The grief of hesitation of whether my mom wanted to go to Switzerland and she never was able to.
Yeah.
Or, you know, she wants to do this and she wasn't.
That's the freedom.
She waited, right?
It's the freedom.
Because she's very patient and she always cares about other people before her.
Yeah.
So I know she won't even mention those things to me.
Yeah.
So I took it upon myself to start to see, okay, what is there that's there that's not being told to me as a son, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I started to understand these things. And that's kind of what drives me, right? So other people are like, hey, you know, how do you find so much passion in hair oil? How do you find so much passion in joint balms and in eczema creams and skincare?
It's not about that.
It's not even, it goes beyond that.
It goes far beyond that, you know? Right? And so that's kind of what, you know, got me started. I have an amazing co-founder, Eric Talento, E.T. the Barber on IG.
Yep.
He's nice. Amazing guy.
He's nice.
We were friends before the business. I mean, I see us friends forever. I actually want to, you know, have him involved in some of my future endeavors. But
y'all gonna go on Shark Tank?
It may be. he's a great guy, right?
I would be so hard, bro.
You know, a thing about him is, like, I learned early, hey, I like to build down. And in reference to building down, I mean, watching trends, reading analytic reports, transaction history. Everything with numbers and you know, percentages, right?
Yeah.
You know, margins, vendor relationships.
You always got to work backwards.
Right.
You have to
how
work
strong
backwards.
Is our foundation, right?
Exactly.
We want to build the biggest building, course, but how strong is our foundation, regardless of the storm that may, you know, pass by?
Yeah.
And he was so phenomenal at building up, whether it's likes, engagement, hacking attention, just as far as, you know, getting us off the ground.
Yeah.
Because while, you know, it's really good to be, you know, kind of technical and have that insight, right, of I need to, you know, be secure,
yeah, for sure.
What are you gonna do if, you know, no one knows who you are? Right.
Yeah.
And he brought some, you know, some beautiful strengths and, you know, aspects of the business that I couldn't really, it was better for me to facilitate, you know, those responsibilities in the long run for, you know, both of us to do better, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I got that vibe from, like, when I first, because I just met him a couple of days ago,
right?
And I could tell, I mean, you got a huge driver personality, and like, you're a very personable person.
I appreciate that,
man. And he has more of like the high energy, like I could tell he's just always like thinking on a thousand different levels, like,
yeah.
And I could see that, like, that makes sense why he was able to execute so well in that area,
right? You know? And like, he's a couple years older than me, so I always give him so much love for like having faith in me to kind of lead the way and kind of partner up with me, because, you know, once the LLC, the business, the corporation, whatever, the partnership, whatever, is registered with the state, it's real.
It's very real.
It's real.
Yeah.
The state knows who you are.
That's you. That's you.
Like, the IRS knows who you are. Everyone, right? It's real.
That's on your name. Like,
and so it's like, as much as like you introduce yourself to Facebook and Instagram, as soon as like January 1st, we hit that switch, registered the LLC, that's when, you know, things got serious. And I really started embracing entrepreneurship because
you got to,
you know, just like you. I mean, I went to Oregon State, right? And, you know, they don't really teach you entrepreneurship, wealth accumulation, land management, any of that stuff, right?
So like, it's not in the general course,
right?
For sure.
It's not at all. So it's like, why would you ever to think, you know, to graduate from a place like that? Why would you ever then go into trying to accumulate real estate or land? You know, why would you try to pursue entrepreneurship, open business? You know, plenty of people, I'm sure they look at me and they say, you know, why would you open up a business as soon as you finish your degree? You don't need a degree to open up the business, right?
It's true.
But it's like, okay, what do you see your degree as? Do you see it as like a guarantee for a job, or did you see it as a maturing experience and like a challenging experience, help you grow?
You talked about this a lot, touched on it a little bit when we had dinner, where, you know, a lot of people see their degree expire,
right?
You know, I would say is somewhat true, for depending on what degree you have and what field you're trying to get into,
right?
Because, you know, the turnover and information, you know, always changes.
Agreed.
But regardless, like, I mean, like you said, it's a maturing process, and it's a pretty expensive one.
Yeah.
At that, like, I'm looking on a whole other topic about universities and paying for that.
Right.
That's really ridiculous.
But
in regardless, though, it's higher education, I'd say molds people to, like, if you actually do the work, to actually like expand yourself and see your potential and how much information you can.
And sometimes the cool thing about like university, especially Oregon State, is like it has such a great campus culture, so that like when you're there, I mean, it's just the different aspects of it all, right?
Yeah.
It's not just like the work that helps you. It's like the second, like the hesitation, the doubt you have during the work that you overcome.
Yeah.
One thing I want to touch on is something that me and Rantak talk about a lot, is it's not as much about where you are physically for those 4 years. If you're going to Oregon State, if you're not going to school, if you're going to work, it matters on how much you're trying to progress over that time period.
Exactly.
It matters if you're really challenging yourself, because people can go and just show up to the classes and they can show up for the experience.
Exactly.
But if you take the time to build relationships, for example, the one that you guys built in your time there, and then that's how it becomes fruitful.
Benefit.
That's how it becomes fruitful for everybody.
For sure.
But if you're the type of person that just goes and shows up, then it's like life.
You just turn
it's
it up.
It's like life.
Yeah.
If you just want to go and show up, you can work at the front desk somewhere.
That's real.
The reason that we're talking about entrepreneurship is because once you see, regardless if you're an intern for the state senator like my man Rantag was, or you work for a T-Mobile call center like I did for a long time, once you see that, man, everything I'm doing is being dictated by somebody else.
Yeah.
When I wake up in the
morning, somebody else
is telling me when I wake
up in the
morning.
It's not for you, really.
Like,
it's not really for you.
Yeah, how is you supposed to live your life 50, 60 years with somebody telling you what time to wake up?
I mean, because that's a lot of time that you're giving them.
I mean, they're telling you what time to wake up. Then think about it. They're telling you what time to go to sleep. Then think about it. They're telling you what time you get to spend with your kids, what time you get to eat.
Very true.
Then they're giving you a paycheck. So they tell you what kind of car you get to drive, what kind of house you live in.
Exactly.
And once you start to think like that, you can't go sit in the 9 to 5.
You're either going to polish yourself,
polish yourself
off as an asset for a company, and then you're just getting accredited, you know, whether it's a master's, a PhD, so forth, right? And you're just that phenomenal asset. Or it's like, all right, let's try to become triple-double as just a human.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be a person. Like, I'm just me. You know, like, yeah, small business owner, whatever, like, graduated here, whatever. But, like, really, like, I'm just Rinthig.
That's what we talked about, though. That's how people avoid going into
that
dark
place.
Yeah.
Don't box me in.
Because when you say, for example, let's say I'm a basketball player. And if I'm just a basketball player, well, when high school's over and I don't play basketball no more, then who am I? If I'm just a business owner, if he's just Nature's Field CEO, if Nature's Field fails, then who am I?
Right.
So it's
for
about,
sure,
like
yeah,
you said,
sure,
spreading yourself out and just be, you don't attach yourself to one thing.
Like,
you are Rantag.
What? The degree's not going to expire. Like, if I can go in the next decade, if the business fails, bankrupt, I got the degree. I can go back and work in health policy and make 40 G's a year and live average as much as I want, right? You go 40, you take your 40K, save that up over 2-3 years, go to the bank, leverage that, I can get an average home.
Yeah.
You know, I can have a car payment. I can live an average life. So it's like,
it's always there.
Right now,
it's always there.
Why not take the risk?
We have to say that there's nothing wrong with living an average life, right? Nothing wrong with getting up and going to work.
Right.
Nothing wrong with the everyday hustle.
We touched on at dinner, remember? We said the denominator is happiness.
For sure.
Yes,
if you are happy doing what you do, then do it.
Like my dad.
But
my
like,
dad
don't moan and groan. Yeah. Don't complain about it.
I mean, one thing we touched on last week when we were talking about self-care, it was like a huge point I drove at was like, and I think I talked to you about this a little bit, was, you know, everyone around here has that seasonal depression where the sun goes away and you get sad. And I said, because it really intrigued me. I was like, I hate how much the weather affects, you know, my mood and stuff like that. And I was like, you really got to strive to find what makes your cloudy days sunny, you know.
Absolutely.
Bring that sunshine to your life.
Absolutely.
And I feel like a lot of that has to do with like just that background stuff that a lot of people don't acknowledge is like what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. And is it really for you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that, you know, some people don't actually have the luxury to have that selfish of a mindset. You know, they got people they got to take care of and they don't have the luxury to like, you know, do that. So, you know, the people out there grinding and being selfless like that, like, for sure,
and
shout out
like,
to you.
Imagine,
like, I know my mom had to do that and stuff like that.
Imagine,
so.
Like, when you bring purpose and then passion together.
Oh, yeah.
That shit is, that's dangerous focus, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, when you're doing something with passion, it's inevitable.
Yeah.
If you stay consistent with passion, you're the whole, like, it was funny because when we're at dinner, you're like, hey, we didn't really touch base on a lot of these topics when we're at Oregon State.
Yeah, no.
Right? And I told you, I was like, yo, the reason probably being is because, like, most of the time we saw each other was at the gym.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing about me is that the gym is, like, it's hyper-focused, right? Like,
I know you would be hyper.
Like, it's, like, really hyper-focused,
honestly,
right?
Got to the point where I was scared to run into Ranta.
Don't talk to him.
It's like,
well, because, well, he going to mess around and try to make you do abs.
No,
and,
they never do.
And then like, your abs going to mess around and fall off.
I learned that at, like, 16, bro. I was like, dude, what do you mean
like,
we're
wait.
Doing 3x32? It doesn't make sense, bro. It doesn't add up.
So
bro.
It's like, yo, when you
he
apply,
on,
when you apply, like, hyper-focus to what you're doing, like, you coming at a whole different level.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
You the way how long you want to work, how intense it is, it's crazy. I mean, I was listening to a snippet from Eric Thomas, is one of the you could say preachers, consultants, whatever you want to say, title, right?
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I always said execution is worship. You know, execute. Don't just think about it, execute. And then he said, I wasn't getting across to the younger generation. I didn't understand why, because he said when I was growing up, you had to do stuff to get credit for it, right? Like, you couldn't, like...
It's a crazy concept.
You couldn't, like... You know what I'm saying? Like, you couldn't, like, go to the gym, post a selfie, and people are like, oh, you worked out. And then you could just post a selfie and leave, right?
Yeah. We started thing to stop doing that.
Right.
He's
like,
if you go to the gym, you do not need to post a boomerang, okay?
He's like, you would have to get the actual results before anyone said you at the gym, right? And so
you never seen a real life boomerang, huh?
Real life boomerang in this.
Anyways, but yeah, no.
Anyways,
for real.
He was saying, yo, aside from like, yes, execution is important, but now he's like, I understand you guys have these goals, these aspirations, like they're. But I was like, oh my god, that's what I actually
said. Yeah, right? I mean, it's
but crazy. I was like.
So, I mean, because I mean, at one standpoint, it kind of kills you a little bit. You're like, whoa, like if you see someone that's way more hyperactive than you,
yeah,
and you're like, man, I got a long way to go. But
right.
you have two choices.
So then you gotta adjust your perspective,
you
right?
Two choices,
exactly.
And you know what those are? You either hit the ground running.
You got one choice.
Catch up,
100%.
Yeah, one choice.
There you go. Like, that's the mentality.
I got around some guys.
That's the mentality,
and they were just crazy efficient.
Yeah,
and they were doing the same things I was doing, but it was just like. They did it much easier, much faster. I'm like, what? Like,
it's because
imagine if I had my passion and my work ethic, and then I had their insight and I was doing that.
Yeah.
Then I'd really be working.
There's always learning. Always learn, bro.
That was one of those things where like, just be a learner for life.
Yeah, for sure.
And you'll get sharp.
You can learn from anybody.
You'll be sharp,
yeah,
right?
You can learn from anybody.
Man.
Now, real quick, we're gonna cut to a music break. We're at that midpoint. And then when we come back, we'll introduce our third guest who got here pretty recently.
Yes, sir.
We'll touch on that. So, yeah, for now, I don't even know what the middle song is, but we're going to find
out. It's a slap, though.
Better be.
Let's see what it is.
Oh, we got Mirage by Toro. Oh, yeah. It's so smooth.
Yeah.
All right. And we're back up in here. Now we're going to take some time to introduce our third guest. I couldn't count for a second there. I was like, one, two, three. Yeah, so go ahead and talk to him real quick, Raj.
What's going on? This is Young Raj Stacks. I'm checking in with my boy. You know, we doing it big out here in Oregon. You know, just paying homage to the city, West Coast, you know, forgotten state, but never forgotten.
We're getting on the map.
That's what we're here for right now, exactly. Is, you know, that entrepreneurship talk just that driven nature.
So, you know, what did you guys say?
I was going to say, being a rapper is a form of entrepreneurship. Oh, for sure. So I think that's a cool way to touch. And this dude's a rapper and like has a tech company, so I think that's like
we are going to, bro.
It's crazy.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about what you do, man. Tell a little bit about what you do.
Right now, for the viewer, you know, listeners inside right now, can't hear me because I got, you know, or I can't hear or see what's going on right now. I got the jacket on, but I'm gonna take it off. So right now I'm actually partnered up with my boy Renthig right here. We're building out a tech company where we help artificial intelligence companies kind of build out their whole team. So like the people who make the artificial intelligence, we bring those people to the companies and we place them in terms of jobs.
Yes, sir.
We get the whole direction.
You didn't know that when he said it's Raj Stacks, did you?
I didn't mention the tech stuff. You got to keep some things a little bit quieter.
Okay. Maybe I shouldn't have told everything.
The versatility is just crazy to me.
So that's pretty much the main goal right now, is we're bringing out the best people in artificial intelligence. You know, like we're people who are going to like Stanford, Harvard, like Cornell, MIT. Those people are you know, like world renowned scientists. Like those are the people that we work with every day.
So you kind of like headhunting a little bit. But like a third party.
Okay,
gotcha.
But we do more of like a consultation too, where it's like, you know, we'll tell the company like, hey, this is the product that you're working on, but we have so much experience building out from before that we bring our expertise to the companies we work with. We'll be like, hey, this is the product that you're making, but maybe you're doing it in the wrong form, and we'll give them direction in terms of what they should be doing as well.
So this isn't your first venture.
No.
I don't want to speak for you, but would you say music was your first venture
In
terms of like being an entrepreneur?
I think music is the, I think hip-hop culture is like the greatest culture when it comes to entrepreneurship.
Okay.
Because your voice is your product, right?
For sure, it
comes down to, you know, you're on the radio right now, you have your voice.
Yeah.
And that voice is something that no one can ever take from you. You know, like that's something that is true to yourself. You control what you're saying. Exactly.
But for real, that's real talk. And so what age did you start getting on the mic?
So I started writing when I was like 8. I suck, right? I picked up the Eminem CD that came out. I wanted to be like Eminem. I was like, yo, I saw the Eminem like the back in the day. No, it was like the Slim Shady EP or something like that. I saw that. I was like, yo, I want to be like that guy. You know, it was like, all right, he was cool because he was like so crazy.
Did you dye your hair blonde too?
Man, my mom wouldn't let me. I won't lie. I tried. I had the tips done.
I'm dead.
For the longest time. Yeah. I was babying Eminem for a little while, and then got into the mic, maybe at like 16. So like that was like a long period of time. But then going on from there, I think the first song I ever did was like with San Quinn, who's like a Bay Area legend. And then second song, like, you know, I actually got with one of the Bone Thugs and Harmony members for the first time.
So he was making pretty fast progress.
Yeah. Because I had one of my bigger homies, I was actually writing for him, and he was, you know, one of a big Bay Area artists. I don't want to put his name out there, but
yeah.
And then I was working with another, like one of the biggest Indian rappers in India at that time too. And I was helping them out with like lyrics and stuff like that. And I'd be the little homie in the studio plugging into like musical direction. So,
yeah, that's right.
You know, I grew up into that and made that established, you know?
Got you. And so when you started actually like making your own songs, cause a lot of what we're talking about here is just like what part of it like made you feel like you owned it, you know, and like what that felt like for you. You know, so what would you say was the moment where you start really feel like your ownership over your own craft?
So, like, you know how we're always talking about empowerment,
yeah, empowerment,
freedom,
yeah,
right?
Throw the three ideals down.
Those are the three pillars, man.
Man, Tech about to write a book, man. Yeah, Tech is about to write a book, bro.
He writes one every time I text him.
Every conversation is like a chapter.
Empowerment, ownership, freedom.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. I mean, when you start music, most of the times you don't like your voice. Like, you'll listen to it and you're like, oh, I sound like this. You know, it's like, oh man, I don't even want to listen to myself. So I think that's where it comes down. Once you get used to your voice, maybe when you first started on the radio, do you have any like insecurities about your voice or anything like that?
No, I'm light skinned. I'm kidding. No, I've had some experience on the mic before a couple of times.
What did you think? What were your first thoughts?
No, I remember, bro. Like, the first time I recorded myself, I was like, who is this? Yeah. Who's this corny dude, bro? Like, it's rough. It's very rough. And then, like, you start to get more comfortable with it and understand how you talk. And it really affects how you talk to other people.
Exactly.
Because, you know, you get to refine your voice and everything like that.
But, and that's that ownership aspect, right?
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah,
when
yeah.
you build that personality sure, of yourself that and brand. That comfort in your voice. Yeah. Yeah. When I started rapping, I was like, I'm going to rap like this. Like, I don't sound like that in real life. Like, I don't sound like that.
Schoolboy Q.
I mean, but it takes that experimentation, really find yourself, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's what it comes to when you're just developing anything in any business, is just like being true to yourself and what you do. As long as you don't let that go anywhere, that's all that matters, you know. The trueness to yourself and what you want to do is the most important key,
like,
of everything.
As long as your why stays there. As long as you don't forget your why.
Exactly.
You just keep going, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Sure. Yeah. Man, Trey, you've been pitching it a lot. We got to focus on you now, man. I gotta hear about your motivational drives, your empowerment
ownership, and freedom, right? So you got empowerment. Is the empowerment of yourself.
E-O-F?
E-M. Empowerment.
I'm saying the acronym.
Oh, the acronym. I haven't even thought about
E-O-F.
The
acronym.
Yeah.
Let me put that as the title of the book.
E-O-F.
Let me write that down. Okay. empowerment in what you do through the value of your time and your schedule. The only way you can have that is through ownership of your endeavors. Equity, right? Mm-hmm. And that leads to freedom in all aspects of your life, whether it's financial or the multiple aspects of freedom that are much much more important than financial, right?
Yeah, and I think one thing I wanted to say, to go back a little bit, something that stuck in my head from what he said at the very beginning, is he said, Rantac said, some people want to buy their mom a house,
mm-hmm.
but my mom loves to make things. So I want to build an empire around my mom making things, because she's going to love that more than the house. I think that's something that he said in a quick 2-second span that might get lost, but that's a crazy concept.
It is,
if you really think about it.
I mean, it comes from just building around people as opposed to building them up.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. And so basically the reason why I do what I do is I didn't go to Oregon State University.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I finished high school. I didn't go to community college. I've been working since I was 16, from Taco Bell. I worked at banks. I worked at call centers. I worked at convenience stores. I worked at Hawaiian Time, you know what I'm saying? Whatever's clever.
Yeah.
And I've been blessed to surround myself with people who think different, like Rantag and my friend DeAndre Collins, Collective Films, who he's a filmmaker, and so on and so forth. And I went to real estate school because I was like, I want to do real estate. It seems like but honestly, it was like an easy way out. I was like, man, well, I don't want to go to college, but I need something to verify me and say I'm legit.
Yeah.
So let me go to real estate school. And when I was going in the classes, I sat in the very back, and I'm light skinned as well. I got real long hair. I had my hair braided the whole time, and I sat in the back and I stayed quiet and I focused and I listened and I took notes every day, and I realized that this game of real estate isn't built for us. Everybody around the table is minority.
Mm-hmm.
This game of real estate isn't built for us. And so I started looking for holes.
Yeah.
I said, well, let me try to find out what I can do to fill some holes, to be able to put us here. Because I don't want to try to get to the top of their game. I want to start a new wave. So what I did is I just looked through Zillow, you know, and my boy can attest to this. I stay up till 2-3 a.m. every night looking through Zillow, looking through homes, looking through ads. And I was like, well, wait a minute, man. Like, what if my man Raj from California wants to get an Airbnb here in Portland? How does Raj know where the freeway is? Raj doesn't know where the dinner spots is. He doesn't know what it looks like around his house. He doesn't know where he's at relative. And my friend Rantag told me a story right before we got here. He said, man, my homie bought a house. He sent me a picture of it. I didn't know it was right next door to me until I came home 3 months later. You know, and so I started looking at all these ads, and I was like, man, like, first of all, why don't they do video tours? And I started looking through. I was like, okay, they have video tours.
Yeah, yeah, like and then I virtual said,
well,
tours.
Yeah, and I said, well, man, like, what about the high school? What about the middle school? What about the elementary school?
You know, yeah, that stuff, you got to like, ask around.
Yeah,
find out.
I was like, man, what about, how do I get to downtown? You know what I'm saying? Like, how far away am I? Yeah. Where's the freeway at? What if I work in a different city and I want to live here? So we created lifestyle marketing inside real estate. So what we did is I started looking at it from a non-selfish point. So I said, man, okay, first things first, let me see how affordable this is gonna be. I reached out to cameramen, I got a contract built up with them, I pay them X amount of money per hour. I said, okay, well, I can afford to charge $400 for the entire tour.
Yeah.
And so we brought that out. And then once we started going out there, I said, you know what, I wanna do the first one for free. Because I'm a young black man, and it's not easy to get people to trust you to go inside their house. So I said, I'm going to do the first one for free. I've done probably, and this is important, I've done probably 15 home video tours for free. I probably spent around $3,000 paying cameramen, paying for equipment, paying for all of this.
Making that high quality.
Not including my time.
Making a brand.
That's the sacrifices
you got. I've spent night after night, 24-hour nights, editing video after video after video. I've dealt with people, you know, cursing at me because they don't like the way I did my house. I've dealt with crazy situations like having a cameraman leave something inside of the house and have to defuse that. And so it's just like all of these things build up and they make you a full entrepreneur and a full businessman. But the point of why I started this, like Rantex said, his mom was doing the Arguic, I got it?
Ayurvedic.
Not trying.
A-Y-U-R-V-E-D-I-C.
His mom was doing that medicine because, you know, his dad was in a bad place. And so I see this as like I try to explain it, like the first person who put shoelaces inside shoes wasn't the first person to want to tie his shoes. He's just the first person that did it. Yeah. There's a lot of people that have looked on Zillow and been like, man, I wish I knew where the high school was, the middle school, the freeway was, and what's around. But they don't do it. Yeah. So I saw this and I was like, well, damn, I need to do this. And then I have people around me like Rantag. And like I said at the very beginning, the reason, the focus is just do it.
Right. Yeah,
the people like Rantag is like, hey, stop telling me about your idea. Why don't you have an LLC? Every day, bro. Do you have your LLC yet? You got your business account yet? You got this yet? You got this yet? Like, if you and Raj, you can say, if you are thinking about doing something, bruh, just do it.
I would say like one of the most important things that I drew from like our conversation, and like I heard it before, was the fact of embracing failure, not necessarily anticipating it, but embracing it and being comfortable with like that is a possibility. Mm-hmm. And once we accept that,
I mean, that's a real thing, right? Like,
you're unstoppable.
If you accept that, okay, failure's it's not even a negative, man. It's an opportunity to learn.
It's like you think like,
so it's like, I want to be smarter.
Yeah.
And if a failure is opportunity to learn and I want to be smarter, then I probably need some failure so I can, that's an easy way to get smarter. Yeah.
And it's not to say it's not going to hurt.
But
guess what? Getting better doesn't always feel good. Right.
If you think backwards, like we were talking about before, if you go into a venture, you're like, man, the worst thing that can happen, the day you start your venture, the worst thing that can happen is my life can be like it is today.
Right.
Because my venture fails, then I go back to where I am right now.
And like,
if that's the worst, then why would you not go for it?
Think about what Trey was saying, right? So he said, I spent $3,000 doing homes for free. Didn't make a single profit, but my business was operating. That's money. Developing my brand, right? So you're thinking, is your immediate thought, is it Trey spent that money? That's tough. Or is that money spent and gone? Or is that money just facilitated? Mm-hmm. It's just literally just delegated somewhere else. It's not liquid anymore. Now you can't spend that money anywhere else. It's set into that brand. But now that brand has $3,000 worth of value.
There's worth to that.
Right?
There's worth.
You know, start respecting every aspect of that. Like, you think it's like, you're really not spending money when you're in entrepreneurship. You're empowering the brand to do more.
It feels better too. Right? It's easier to write a check for something that, wait, when you write a check, like, think about giving money to like your little niece or nephew on their birthday. Yeah. That's an easy check to write. You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to something you love. If you write a check to your, that's an easy check to write. It's easy for me to pay my cameraman. I don't think twice about it.
Yeah.
Because all that's doing is going to work to help me grow and also
help them grow
when,
too.
Yeah, exactly. When you are able to funnel Wholesale Nature's Feel to a barbershop and they're able to resell that, and that's another product that they can have in there, and that's a local barbershop that's able to
everybody
help.
Wins.
Exactly.
Thing is, like, if you're not afraid to fail, you're so powerful, man. You could put out whatever you want.
Oh, yeah.
Remember we said, like, don't ever worry 100% about the quality of what you release, because most likely in 32 hours, no one's going to remember.
Yeah.
They're not even going to care.
Yep.
You know? So if you compound that with you have no fear of failure, you could literally do whatever you want. You'll never be boxed in. You could try whatever you want. Raj can put out any song, any style. He can go country tomorrow. Fail out, I'm probably not gonna remember the next week.
Yeah.
So what's the big deal? Might as well try it, right?
But I don't think failure is like a real, like, it doesn't exist. I feel like every failure is a learning experience, you know? You have to, like, one, invest your time and invest your money.
That's
and
real.
If you fail, it's okay, because you're gonna learn and you know not to make that failure again, you know? And that's an important concept to learn.
Very true.
It's like the greatest warrior is not scared to die.
Right. Yeah.
if I was to say anything and this is something that we wrapped up dinner with, and it's something I really want to get across to our listeners, if there's anything you can do as like a practical first step, is find your network, find your mastermind group to be with, right?
Yeah.
I have a few, and it's not the biggest group, and it's just a good four or five people.
Quality.
That when we come together and we mastermind, our brains are at a whole different frequency.
Yeah.
Our thoughts are in alignment, and we're pushing things a lot faster, right? If there's one practical use step as even just an idea, even though, like, I despise the concept of ideas, because everyone has ideas. Ideas come and go, right?
Yeah.
Are you gonna materialize it, bring anything into fruition from that idea is the challenge. But if you can get around a group of people that will motivate you and they will challenge you in a positive way to, you know, see every single aspect of that idea, that's a huge start just to begin with, right?
For sure,
like,
for sure.
That is something else. I mean, something that me and Trey touched on before we came here was a lot of what people call like revolution, especially in technology, is based off businesses not being customer centric.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of their biggest problems, right? We're talking about Netflix and Blockbuster, and it was not Netflix's crazy technology. They didn't come in with machine learning, AI stuff.
But they delivered. They straight up mailed,
right?
They started mailing, right?
But the problem was Blockbuster's late fees were ridiculous.
Oh my God, you telling, bro?
I mean, if I check out a movie for $8 and I'm 2 days late to return it, and it's a $4 a day late fee, and that's another $8 in late fee, that's what killed Blockbuster. Right? When it comes to taxis and Ubers, it's not Uber came with something crazy. It's that you had limited access. People had to go hail cabs. And then they had control over cab fare. So you couldn't negotiate anything.
Yeah.
They weren't being customer centric, right? And so when you start to see, like, oh, it's not really like, oh, we're taking over, like, there's all this new technology. It's like, no, how about instead of opening up your business just for your benefit, you start to understand, okay, every startup needs to solve a problem.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
That's
every
it.
Every startup needs to solve a problem. If you can solve a problem and be customer-centric, it doesn't matter if there's a dynasty like Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if taxis have been around for 200 years. It doesn't matter. You know, so many of us, especially me, I'm a first-generation kid here, citizen, right? Both my parents were born in India.
Yeah.
Most kids like me, when we think big, we can't think empire. We can't think dynasty. The biggest we can think is maybe franchise. And even then, that's pretty big for us, right? Because some of us are like, well, I'll just get accredited and I'll work for someone else. And then some of us are like, all right, maybe I'll actually amount to something, you know, of my own, you know, because it's not like that's not amounting to anything, right?
Yeah.
But maybe I'll form myself on my own. But none of us can think four championships. You know, we can't think dynasty.
Yeah.
But it's very much so, if you have that insight, you have that awareness, why not? Why not you, right?
Why not, yeah.
I mean, for sure. If it's to be, it's to be done by you.
And I mean, that's the thing I feel like just like outside of business can carry into like any aspect of life, whether that, you know, that's dominating industry or just your own personal growth, you know?
Right.
You know, a lot of people will only cherish, you know, small like achievements, but like you could really shoot for
and
way
so
more.
Like, I think the funniest thing is like so many nuances of entrepreneurship go into specified industries, right?
For sure.
If you're a real estate agent, you can run your kind of as an agent, as a salesperson, you can run that like a business, right? If you're a musician, you can be like a Nipsey Hussle. You can be like a Dolph, and you can run your own business out of those things, right?
Ownership, man.
You know, even, I mean, like day traders can almost have that type of control, that those principles of empowerment and ownership, they have that. Right? Yeah, maybe it's not in like a, you know, really formalized LLC or anything like that, but it's there, right?
Yeah.
I think when you start to embrace the themes of entrepreneurship, not necessarily that you have to be a CEO or you have to, you know, do that, and you have to understand how these guys actually approach things. They're thinking differently.
For sure, right? For sure.
That's, I think, one of the most, like, I think, forgotten aspects of entrepreneurship, because there's so many practical aspects of like do it, execute.
Yeah. Yeah,
that people understand.
It's
like
a lot of pressure.
Okay, how about people, how about you understand their core values? You know,
very
like
true.
These guys' core values is really valuing their time. So like maybe you should start addressing how you spend your time. What do you value for your hour,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's going to be in direct proportion to how much you accumulate.
Yeah,
in the long run, right?
And that ties into self worth too.
Absolutely,
sure.
Absolutely. I think
if you can't understand that, then
yeah. I mean. I just don't think it, when you think entrepreneurship, it's that you have to leave that office gig and you have to go be on your own. You have to kind of like shut yourself out for 5 years and kind of like make that like nose to the grindstone climb. It's like, well, now with entrepreneurship, you know, if you're doing e-commerce, you could work with Shopify, you could work with Squarespace. You know,
it's so much opportunity now,
especially
today,
in Oregon.
Like the barriers to entry in some places are high.
There's
like,
literally
there's
no barriers to entry, right?
Yeah,
and Oregon's so it's so easy. Like in comparison to California,
oh yeah,
opening up a business in Oregon is not very.
Bro, there's a lot of people that don't know what they're doing like, that are successful,
right?
Like it's crazy. Like, I mean, you were talking about that just yesterday, but I mean, we're running low on time here. I want to go around real quick, and I mean, one thing, another thing that came up yesterday in our conversation or 2 days ago. What really spoke to me was just like the joy you got from just like having your own. I mean, because you've always been like a happy person from what I've seen, and pretty well motivated. But like, I want everyone to go around just quickly, just mention, you know, what having your own brand has done for you mentally and throughout your whole like contributed to your happiness.
Yeah. So I think. Having your own brand gives you that sense of right power, entitlement, but also gives you a drive to take it to the next level. And I think that's the most important thing, is just to have a goal and achieve and execute. Execution is the biggest thing. And as long as you're dreaming big and you're going for those dreams, you'll never fail.
For sure. 100%.
Definitely, man. Well, having your own brand, or having my own brand for me, has given me an unparalleled sense of confidence. Just to understand the fact that, man, like, I can be one of those guys.
Yeah.
To realize that, like, wait a minute, like, wait, I can be that guy. And all I have to do is just get out there and be that guy, you know? And it's not about smart or dumb. It's not about 4 years of college or, you know, growing up rich or growing up poor or eating top ramen or eating filet mignon. That's not what it's about. I don't want to hear no excuses. I don't care if you are sick. I don't care if you can't walk. I don't care. You use your mind and think of a problem today and try to solve it. You know what I'm saying?
Once
you do that, man, you wake up every morning like, man, I don't care what they say about me. Like, I don't care what they say. I'll work wherever. I work at a convenience store. I don't care what you say. I go home and I got my own life. You know what I'm saying? That I built.
Right.
Don't live it for other people. Live for yourself.
Man, I had this crazy conversation once with my buddy. It was my cousin. And we're in New York. It's recent. We're in New York. We're standing at the top of the Empire State Building. So maybe this affected the conversation.
But I'll say this probably
And
did.
We're talking about
the scenery.
So dramatic.
We're talking about inductive and deductive learning styles, right? Because I was talking to him, and my cousin's name is Vinny. Right? I was like, Vinny, all the things I learned in Oregon State, I felt like I was already living it And then they just kind of put a title on it. And I was like, oh, I already know that. I already do that,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And so one of those things, the biggest thing for me was self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Because I always had that mindset when I did my MPC, the whole like physique competition stuff.
Yeah.
But I never had like a concept title on it. So I didn't understand what it was formally.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But really what it was like, I was learning that if you walk in that path, it's inevitable that you'll be that, right? So if like when it came down to like competitions, it was, if I do everything that first place does for weeks and weeks and weeks, like right to it, it's inevitable that I just walk into first place because I embody first place, right? I did everything that first place was supposed to get. How can I not be first place, right? And then so like I started to learn entrepreneurship was very similar. Like, you know, I don't necessarily value being a CEO, but I value all the things I told you about by my why, right?
Yeah.
And I knew like I had always wanted these things. And then I started to understand entrepreneurship wrapped around this. And so it was great that like, you know, I kind of got to embody, I got to live it, right? And then I understood what it was that I was passionate about.
Yeah.
You know, I always knew I was passionate about, you know, kind of making a means to something and you know, being bigger than just the average thinking that, you know, everyone was kind of feeding us. Yeah. But that was the crazy
All right, man. Appreciate y'all sharing. I'm about to cut it off here.
Got right to
y'all
the
have a great Wednesday.
They,
yeah,
they got the Grammy music on, too. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Man.
All right, Portland, good night.
Much love, guys.
Peace. Hey, light side, pass out music. The people's chant must be everything the people can't be. I'm getting artsy fartsy, house full of some Hebrew Brantleys. You must have missed the come up. I must be all I can be. Call me Mr. Mufasa. I had to master stampedes. I made it through, made it through, made it through. And everything I gave to you, I gave to you, I gave to you. You got it, you got it, you got it. It's coming,
coming, coming, coming.
So are you ready?
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the Portland Folk Music Society's concert season, which this month features the Kathy Kallick Bluegrass Band, October 19th, 7:30 p.m., at the Reedwood Friends Church in Southeast Portland. Kathy Kallick is an award-winning singer-songwriter, having received a Grammy and international bluegrass music accolades. Her five-piece band features more IBMA winners, including local fiddler Annie Staninetz, a former Emerging Artist of the Year. Portland Folk Music Society concerts in November will bring the Honey Whiskey Trio and Legends of the Celtic Harp with Patrick Ball in a special pre-holiday program. PFS presents concerts monthly, now through next May. For more information, go to the website, kboo.fm, and look on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the screening of Queer Core, How to Punk a Revolution, on Sunday, October 21st at 7:30 at the Hollywood Theater in Portland.